We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Welcome back to the second guest show. Mike DeTelia, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. At 6:10 tonight, we'll have on Bobby April. Bobby, longtime NFL special teams coordinator. Now he's helped out with the LSU Fighting Tigers on their special team. So Bobby can give us certainly some insights on that LSU football team, kind of the pulse of the matter at the present time. And Ed's out. Many people have asked, do you have Coach O on tonight? No, Coach O is in Nashville talking at the coaches' convention.
And Mike, did you know this, that Coach April and I, you know how far we go back? He was on Jerry Glanville's staff with Atlanta.
Yeah.
So that's how far we go back. And I can tell you what.
From Chalmette.
And I can tell you that those special teams meetings were very interesting.
With him and Jerry.
As far as with the bonuses and giving the military helmet on the outstanding hit. Now you can't do that anymore.
Yep.
You can't use the crown of the helmet. We all know what happened with the Clemson guy. All of a sudden, he's kicked out. He's kicked out. Back in the day,
that would have been nothing.
But Mike, you cannot do that anymore. And that guy, Mike, where is he at NFL wise?
He's a guy that's going to play at the NFL level.
Right.
That's all I know. And you know, and to you look at the play, it was such a bang bang.
Yeah,
type
but
hit.
You can't lower.
But he
your
lowered
head.
His helmet just enough.
It doesn't matter if it's helmet to helmet. You cannot lower the crown of your helmet. That is the key.
Man, I would never want to play defense now. Never want to play. Man, you can't hit them high. You can't hit them low.
Right.
You can't hit them with any piece of the helmet. Nothing.
Well, you cannot lower the crown. You can't be a battering ram. You got to see what you hit. I think that's what they're trying to preach. Now, if that would happen against LSU, I'm telling you, I'm objective enough. I'd have said, he's getting kicked out of the game. And I'm telling you, I am truly that objective with the new rule. Now, to me, that rule, because they worried about player safety and you got to go forward.
They
there.
Worried about getting sued.
Yeah. Right, man, ain't
nothing about no player safety.
But to show that we're trying to head the game in the right direction. So.
And again, what we reported in the 4 o'clock hour, numerous reports from Carolina, that Joe Brady had basically agreed with LSU that if he stayed in college football, he would stay at LSU. But numerous reports coming out of Carolina is that he will join the staff of Matt Rhule, the former Baylor coach, new head coach of the Carolina Panthers, and Joe Brady will leave LSU to go to the
Now, what's
going to
be interesting
Panthers.
With that now, you know why we're interested? Is the NFC South.
Yep.
Now, we don't want Joe Brady to have success. Come on, he's with Carolina. He's with the enemy right now. I cannot envision Joe Brady and the coach from Baylor. Matt Rhule. Mike, unbelievable job in the interview. And, look, he's at Temple. He's at Baylor, the success. But really,
all I know is Joe Brady ain't staying long in Carolina. Then he go get a head coaching job somewhere.
But I
guarantee you that.
But the question I have, because he's played so long in the NFL, how would that work, Joe Brady, with a Cam Newton? Are you going a different direction? Because
I sort of believe they're going to go in a different direction.
Yeah, because Cam Newton be like, man, I'm in the NFL. And you're going to come tell me what to do. So that's why I don't see that working. Just because of Cam's personality with Joe Brady. I might be wrong about that, but I would think that Carolina would go in a different direction from Cam Newton with Joe Brady.
The one thing, too, is with Matt, kind of hand that baton to Joe and say, hey, listen, we kind of saw what you and Ensminger did at LSU. You know, you do that for us here in Carolina. Now, again, if he could bring Joe Burrow with him, that would be a different story.
Now, the one thing that Joe Brady has going for him is the best version in the NFL as far as multiple packages and how you utilize the best running back in the passing game or running, Christian McCaffrey. Who's better than Christian McCaffrey? Now, Derrick Henry, pure runner, beast mode and all that. We talk about complete back, right, Mike, and we love Alvin Kamara, but this year Christian McCaffrey.
And
come on,
also
about 2,000 yards.
He's got a big-time receiver. I think DJ Moore is
going
to end up being a real, real star in this league at the wide receiver position. So we'll find out a little bit more, I think, over the next 48 hours on confirmation of that. But there are a ton of reports now coming out that seemingly Joe Brady has made up his mind. He will return to the NFL, and he will coach with Matt Rhule. Each and every Monday night, he's with us in the 5 o'clock hour. Now it's Tuesday night in the 5 o'clock hour, Mr. Dave Hilbert. Dave, thanks so much for joining
us. Oh, man, great to be here.
What the feeling last night, man, to see what happened late. And, man, the game really kind of lasted seemingly forever. It was a long night for all of us. I know for me it was after 3 o'clock before I hit the bed. But you think about, you know, Ed Orgeron, and I know for us, thinking about that, you know, we now know and have known him for a long time, the head football coach for a guy that's won the national championship in college football.
Undefeated with the Heisman Trophy winner.
It's just unreal.
A prolific, one of the best college teams in football history.
I think you could make a pretty good argument for it.
A great argument.
In today's world.
Yeah, great argument. If not, listen, we might be a little homers on this, but if not the best, and we think it's the best, in the conversation.
Seven top 10 teams?
Seven
Come
top
on.
10
look
teams.
Look at strength of schedule. You look at all that. Come on.
And the AP top four. Think about that. When you beat Clemson, Alabama, Georgia, Oklahoma, to get to that 15 wins, that's unprecedented when you look at
it. Now, Dave, I know sometimes you get a little nervous. And because I was a little nervous, and my wife said, why are you pacing? I said, well, I'm just pacing because if I got to change the mojo. When I'm sitting down, it doesn't seem like things are going well. But when you look at LSU, they had never trailed by two scores this season. It's 10 minutes and a half in the second quarter, you know, and they're losing 17-7. Were you worried, or are you like, I'm not worried at all?
I thought the coaching staff would get it all figured out. I mean, you could tell when they came out, like Mike was saying about Tua talking about last year, the Clemson came out with a completely different defense.
You know, okay. That was the crazy thing. They have the Bobby Bowden Award that they give every year. And so Tua gets the award Friday. So I got a few minutes with him before the presentation. And I said, what did it take for LSU to win the game? And he said, one, LSU's got to continue to run offensively like they have. Fast, quick pace, put points on the board, keep Clemson's defense off guard. And he said the second thing, because we were kind of exchanging Ed Orgeron stories. Because Ed tried to recruit Tua and his brother. So, you know, he had a couple of real good ones there about Ed. And his deal is, however you want to talk to Coach O about this, but Joe Burrow's going to see stuff defensively he never saw in film. Because he said, you know what, last year we studied film. We broke every little play down. And they threw stuff at us defensively I'd never seen before.
Listen, I love Dave
Aranda. Man, that's something.
Listen, I love Dave Aranda.
Brent Venables is something else.
I think he's the best as far as schemes. I think he might be the best defensive coordinator in college football.
Only thing with
I love Dave Aranda. But
man,
I think
you can't leave
number eight,
A.J. Terrell one-on-one with Ja'Marr Chase. Come on, that didn't work
no, he
real
got,
well.
He got burned up. But you know what? It's all about mismatches. You know who else Clemson attacked?
They went after Fulton.
Look out now, I think Fulton should have got credit for that interception.
Yeah,
I don't know, that was barely a tug. You don't call that. And he had that interception. But to me, the fish is, like Joe from Mandeville, you know, he might take the approach, LSU got a little home cooking. No,
With 11 penalties, they didn't.
I think that it was kind of a game that both teams had calls that didn't go in their favor, if that makes sense.
Yes, I agree.
That it was not like, it was so one-sided.
No, because when you get 11 penalties called on you,
right,
ain't no home cooking.
Right.
Man, them Pac-12 officials, they love to throw the flag.
That's the
one thing, you know, they got their cookies off during the game, man. Them flags were coming out real fast.
Yeah, it was a nice, clean game, too. There was no taunting. You know, there was none of that kind of stuff.
There was a couple of fall downs. Don't worry about it. He'll be back after this play.
No big showboater. No.
But you know, the bottom line is, and you always cheer for good people. Whether you are Clemson or LSU fan, Dabo Sweeney and Coach Ed Orgeron, or vice versa, they're all good people. It's the same individual, just different parts of the country. I'm telling you,
I agree.
That ain't too many haters on Dabo Sweeney. You need to look in the mirror you know, when it comes to that, as far as like, oh, God, he's arrogant. I want to be. No, he's just a good guy.
Amos Morales, he was sitting right next to me for the game. So we watch it, and there are, man, we surrounded by Clemson people. And there's a lady I'm going to
get. A good thing I went there. I didn't get kicked out.
No. They were good. They were good with everything. But that was a lady after Clemson scored the first time. She turned around and gave me a high five. So a high five there. You know, come on. You know, I'm trying to be nice.
She was high-fiving you for when LSU did
it? No, when Clemson scored.
Oh, man.
So,
man,
you know what?
I'd have broke her arm like a high fiver. Were
you wearing an orange shirt?
I'd have took her arm and twisted her.
No. So when LSU scored, I put my hand out, and she kind of half-heartedly gave me the high five. Uh-oh. But then after that, it was, I can't do it anymore. She said, we're going to get killed.
She was so dejected.
Well, yeah. Once LSU hit that 21 points in the second quarter, it was like, man, I don't want to do no more high fives. She sort of knew that, you know, they had picked on somebody they weren't going to beat.
Well, it was an ACC opponent, you know. So they, but, what you got?
Well, you talk ahead. About good people, though. I mean, they had so many people come up. And Amos will confirm this. Come up, shake hands. Man, listen, y'all deserved it. Y'all were the better team. I mean, you know, come on. If we were playing Penn State or Pitt, that ain't happening. You know that.
Yeah. No, Clemson are good people in South Carolina, good country people. They listen, I know about Eric because I lived in Atlanta 14 years. It's only 2 hours from Atlanta.
They had one guy. He had made every – national championship game, and actually had come to New Orleans in the semifinals to see, Alabama beat Clemson that particular year. But he had been to all of them, and he was like, that LSU team, that's the best one we've ever faced. Again, you know, he's kind of giving the props out at that point.
You know, when the state of South Carolina, who was chairing for LSU, the Gamecock Nation. I can guarantee you that you think you're from South Carolina. You never left. You're born and bred here. I guarantee you South Carolina, not SEC. They were saying anybody but Clemson. You know, they were saying go LSU.
And so many Alabama people text me or send me a message. Y'all cannot drop the ball because you know why? They didn't want people to say Clemson's the next Alabama.
The most dominating team.
I'm just telling you.
But wait, they don't want to say that, but who's favored next year according to Vegas?
Clemson.
It's Clemson. So slow your roll, Alabama. Yeah. On
Dave, tell everybody a little bit about what's happening here.
Man, we got Al Little Fats Jackson with his Fast Domino tribute. He's this Friday and Saturday on stage. We start this coming Saturday. You can start earning a square for the football boards that are going to be here for the Super Bowl. And then we're going to have the radio show every Monday all the way through the Monday after the Super Bowl.
And again, ending to the NFL season, the two championship games, which will be interesting to watch.
Oh, yeah, man.
No one could have predicted the Titans would be there. And every week, you know, because I do some work for the Titans, you know, I have one of the guys text me, we get one more week of checks. You know, understanding, you know, the Titans still surviving with this.
They're still surviving. But let me tell you what, look what Derrick Henry has done against the – Patriots, and then you look what he just accomplished, Mike. And listen, he is like beast mode of the South. And I tell you what, now I know it's the playoffs, but you know the last two times when they played the Chiefs, guess who won? Titans. They beat him. So I'm telling you now, Pat Mahomes, you might say he's on fire, but how they structure with Tannehill,
how they control the clock with Derrick Henry,
control the clock,
and AJ Brown, man, he's a big time player.
And Mike, listen, Tannehill, you know when you're really good, look at the situation. This is when you know you really have a great team with this day and age. When your quarterback, they're not putting up unbelievable numbers, and you're still winning.
Still winning.
Did Tannehill like throw for 100 yards?
No.
Oh, okay. Then look at Garoppolo. What he threw for like 130?
30. That's what? About it.
And they still dominated the Vikings. Okay, what did Dalvin Cook do against the 49ers?
Squat. Nothing.
Nothing. I'm just telling you that when I look where the 49ers are at, I think they both, the Titans, that being the Packers, they're 7.5-point underdog. I'd be surprised if the 49ers don't take care of it against Aaron Rodgers.
Now, they
spanked them. In the regular season, Aaron Rodgers is going back to the Bay Area. He went to Cal, so he's going to want to have a good showing. But I would be surprised, considering how healthy the 49ers are, of Quan Alexander, they all coming back. D Ford, all being able to rush the passer. That I just don't see the Packers pulling off that upset.
I don't see it either.
Now, if the Titans can control, I would think more the Titans upset the Chiefs than the Packers upset the 49ers.
I agree.
Now, I'm not saying it'll happen, but I think that's what might happen.
Dave, come on down to the Slipper Entertainment this weekend.
Our little Fats Jackson.
Absolutely. Man, he's awesome.
He's
man,
great.
If you haven't heard him, man, you got to listen because, man, he does a great job.
He does.
All right,
great
Dave.
Impersonation. Thank you, Dave. We appreciate it. Come on down to the Silver Slipper. We'll be back with more Second Guess. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino Beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. Bob, there's always a Bayou connection somewhere, and we were talking about the Titans, but we had to go to break. But
yeah.
The general manager of the Tennessee Titans, his first job after he got out of school, he was a GA at Nicholls State University.
Worked and he's the general manager?
General
the
manager. He was the linebackers coach his final year with the Colonels. And I remember him calling and telling me, hey, I got a job. And I thought it was another coaching job. I said, well, what you doing? He said, I'm going to be a regional scout with the New England Patriots. And that started his scouting career. He went from coaching to scouting and was with the Patriots for a number of years, took a job with the Buccaneers, and then a fast track, became the general manager. So the architect of the Tennessee Titans, his first job was as a GA and then later linebackers coach at Nicholls. The crazy thing about all that is Jay Thomas, the former Nicholls State coach and also Northwestern State coach, he is a what you want to call a pregame scout. He'll go to a game and watch an opponent before they play him, and he does that also, has some input on some of the pro personnel that he sees. But Jay works for the Tennessee Titans, for John Robinson. Goes to show how life sort of swings around so radically that Jay was the head coach.
Right.
John was the assistant. Now John becomes the boss man, so to speak, with the Titans, and Jay's working for him now.
Well, you know, and you take advantage of the opportunity, and, boy, you can't get more blue-collar than the Tennessee Titans. And you look at Derrick Henry, Mike, and we're talking about, is he the greatest Alabama running back? If he continues to do
Sean
that.
Sean Alexander, I'd hitch that.
But what if he continues?
We've got to see how well he can hold up over a period of time.
But when you're talking about can run over you with his speed. I mean, I just look at what he did against the Patriots. I mean, that was dominating. Defending Super Bowl champion, he has 195 yards rushing. And then, Mike, he runs for 182 yards. Now, think about that. Back-to-back games, 195, 182. They know he's going to run, but it's Ryan.
That's
Ryan Tannehill's best friend. You look at it, Mike, a career best, 1,540 yards in 15 games in a regular season. Now, Saints fans don't want to hear this.
I'm sure glad he didn't play against them.
Amen. We were down 14-0. And look how we came back against the Titans, right? We won that game. I'm telling you, it could have been a totally different game if that one player. You think one player can make a difference if Derrick Henry
makes it on that team
would have played that game. And the one thing, when people look at it, what do you think they're going to do against the Chiefs? All I know is the last two times they played the Chiefs, guess who won the game?
The Titans.
The Titans have taken care of business against the Chiefs. And, Mike, so I'm looking at the rematch in November. Recently, they lost to Tennessee. And then they also beat the Chiefs in the 2017 wild card game. So they're not intimidated with Kansas City. Now, I think they both, like I said, the Titans are 7.5-point underdog. The Packers are a 7-point underdog.
The 49ers.
Yeah, I'll take
the points. If
there would be an upset, I think it would be more the Titans than the Packers.
Or keep it very close.
Yeah, I
think the Titans can do that. On the line with us now from Australia, Tony. Tony, you're in the huddle with Bobby and Mike.
How are you, Bobby and Mike?
Yes, sir.
And a shout out to Kathy and Travels over there. I don't know if his grandson or not, but that sounds a bit quiet. Congratulations to Coach O and LSU. I got to watch the game, and just like I promised both of you last week, I did have a celebratory drink after their victory.
Now, you know, Tony, when you look at all what y'all dealing with in Australia, is there still a place and a time that you could get away and you watch sports, or are you affected by all the fires, or where are you at, and can you escape and dealing with that? Is that, you know, things that get blown out of proportion, but then it is so drastic and realistic. So where are you at as far as the threat on you and maybe your family and your loved ones?
No, I'm fine where I am. It's like I'm living in New Orleans and the fire's been on the way to, say, Baton Rouge, you know?
Okay.
But the last 2 days, we've had enormous smoke haze. It's blown across from the fire, so it's people with any breathing problems or anything like that, they just don't go outside because you can't breathe.
So Tony, you're watching the LSU Tigers. Obviously, you embrace Louisiana, the Saints, LSU. Do you watch it with your friends? Because I know you got Saints friends. Do you have LSU Tiger fans also in Australia?
Yeah, there are, but they're spread a bit far and wide. And as I said, like yesterday was one of the bad days, like the smoke haze. So not too many people sort of venture out.
Right.
And what a great result for all the colleges in Louisiana. Started off with the Louisiana Tech. The Tulane Green Wave carried it on. The Rage and Cajuns, they all won their bowl games. And the cherry on top was yesterday, LSU's win.
Yeah, you know, Tony, when you look at it now going forward, the expectations, and whenever you go undefeated and you win a championship, obviously, a fan base gets a little spoiled and they can expect that every year. But you know what? I am so optimistic that this could be truly a special decade. I'm looking at the 2020s, and like I said, I kind of described it as the Roaring 20s. I know a Roaring 20s part two, considering we had that in the 1920s. I think in the 2020s, LSU program is going to be roaring for years to come and definitely have an opportunity to be in that playoff picture, and you never know what can happen.
Well, I can't believe they've opened up as third favorite. Clemson, Alabama, and then LSU.
Well, the thing is, Trevor Lawrence is coming back.
Trevor, that's the big part of it.
Yeah, the
you got your starting quarterback coming back. Man.
Yeah, and all of a sudden he was a true freshman. Now he's a sophomore. Trevor Lawrence is coming back.
And now, look the conference he's in the ACC.
Yeah.
He should be able to roll through that.
Yeah.
And all those defensive guys, most of them are going to come back. So that's the thing to look at, and that's what will happen with LSU, which happens to the good programs. You get sort of picked apart junior-wise. And LSU's going to have a long list of juniors that are going to declare early for the draft.
Now, Mike, I've heard this be described this way. Almost Clemson, and look at LSU's competition in the SEC, Clemson was like Florida, but maybe with a better quarterback.
Oh, no question.
Now, but you look at the Florida quarterback.
He had a good game against LSU.
And the experience.
For three quarters.
And then what he might be doing in the future. So that's why I look at the competition. Boy, you look at Alabama.
Well, Florida's in the East.
But Mike, you look at the competition overall in the SEC. Alabama, Florida, Georgia, LSU. It doesn't get any easier.
And watch for Texas A&M.
It doesn't
the
get any easier.
The schedule is favorable to them. They return their quarterback in Mon, comes back. Jimbo's got three recruiting classes rolling in. I think A&M is going to be a player. I think they'll be a major player in the SEC.
That's why
in 2020.
Year in and year out, they will always be in the conversation that there's always, you're going to have one SEC team in there. You know, SEC champion. But, Mike, that's why the rest of the country might not be able to handle it. But even though you're not SEC champion, you might have, it's always going to be a threat every year, two out of the top four. Could be SEC teams. That's not going away. That's not
staying for a long time.
Yeah, because they're getting the players and the team. So when you look at like, oh, well, we got to have something in the Pac-12 and, you know, in the Big 12 where they're at, no, you're going to have the best teams. Now, look at Oklahoma, the Big 12. Was that the JV? I mean, what? I mean, think about that game.
Every year it's going to be Texas's year to overtake Oklahoma. Every year it's going to be that, and we see Oklahoma with Lincoln Riley staying, that they're going to be in the hunt again.
Eventually, Tom Herman, I think, is going to get it right in Texas. Now, I know Joe from Mandeville is intrigued with this. Texas is coming to Baton Rouge. You know what I talk about, an early game
that the fans
are interested in, Mike?
With the experienced quarterback and
right,
Ellinger
right.
and Miles Brennan on the other side.
Exactly.
Thanks so much, Tony. We appreciate the call. Stay safe, bud. And we'll be back with more Second Guess right here on the Big 870. Back here on the Second Guess Show, Mike DeTellier, Bobby Hebert, live from the Silver Slipper Casino, beachside right here in Hancock County, Mississippi. We're going to go to Paul in Baton Rouge. Paul, you're in the huddle with Bobby.
You guys,
Mike.
Thank
go
you.
Ahead,
a
Paul.
Couple quick things. Yeah, go ahead. You got me?
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
A couple, three things. One, let's extend an invitation to everybody to come up to Baton Rouge for the parade. We've got a great celebration. Second, just a comment. I think on that last drive, it would have been nice to bring Joe out toward the end and let him get the applause rather than taking a kneel at the end, maybe put that second quarterback in. Two other things that I'd like to comment on. One, a couple of times, at least two or three times, I noticed that we had 3-on-2 our receivers on their defensive backs. We just didn't get the ball snapped quick enough. I don't know if you guys noticed
it. Yeah, I saw it. That was a lot of heat on Joe, too. That's a lot of heat on him.
Yeah. Also, look, I understand close calls and I understand bad calls. And against Texas A&M last year, we had 5 close calls that didn't go our way. But I can tell you, I think that was some poor officiating on both sides yesterday.
I agree with you.
I think the pass interference.
I thought that crew didn't do a good job.
The pass interference that they called against them, I think, was bad. I think the ones that they called against us were bad. The missing of the face mask. The guy throws a flag. Everybody thought it was for the face mask. It was for a personal foul. He threw it from 50 yards away. He threw it. What I'm saying is I think it was the poorly officiated game I've seen in a very, very long time. But what's your thoughts on having Joe come out and let him get his accolades?
Well, the bottom line I know is a quarterback, and did you notice how the official wanted that football at the end?
Yeah.
And Joe said, no, the game's over. I'm keeping this ball.
I got it.
Because it's not just it's just not one of the balls in the game. It is the last snap. And so actually still have the ball from a high school state championship. And, you know, that's a memorabilia that you want to keep.
You still have it?
Yeah.
Yes, I still have it. Because you reflect, it's a Spalding football. They don't even make Spalding anymore. That's Spalding. Think about that.
Everything
it's like a Spalding, was it volleyball or whatever, basketball? It's a football. But the bottom line is when you have that ball and you just put it in your hands, you reflect on the memories start flashing back. So you notice Joe was in there. And the official wanted the ball. He goes,
No, I got it.
The game's over. I'm going to keep this in my presence. So, you know, the fans would have cheered and all that. But I think Joe wanted to be there to take that last snap, to have that ball in his hand.
And he deserved it.
And he's gotten
all the accolades.
Yeah, and the thing is, when he gets on the stage and he just holds up the
trophy,
and the fans are all cheering. So I think they recognized him post-game. Like they needed to, because I don't know what it's going to take. Maybe you got to twist the rules. But how can you not retire a number 9 jersey or build a statue of him?
Well, let's come up to Baton Rouge this week, Bobby. Let's get as many people up here.
Yeah,
let's get as many people.
Hey, listen, we're in Louisiana. We know how to throw a damn parade.
Real
so
fast.
I don't care if you're in New Orleans or Baton Rouge, wherever you're at. That'll be an unbelievable parade to celebrate this championship for the Tigers.
Thank you, guys.
Paul, appreciate it, bud. We'll be back with more Second Guess right after this break on the Big 870. got a few minutes left here on our number two of the second guest show. And, again, something we talked about in the 4 o'clock hour, seemingly getting confirmation now from a lot of the national sources that Joe Brady, who basically committed to LSU that I'm going to stay in college, I'm not going to give that committal in case a pro job comes open, looks as though he is going to be involved with the Carolina Panthers and is going to team up with Matt Rhule there. So we'll get the full load of that later on. But it's coming from way too many sources who actually know. It looks as though Joe Brady is going to leave LSU and going to join the staff of Matt Rhule with the Carolina Panthers.
But that's like anything.
You're going to lose coaches?
Yeah, yeah.
You're going to lose players.
When you win a championship and you have success, look at the Saints. Now, I know we're disappointed that they're one and done, but you look when you win what they've done the last three seasons. Mike, when you win double digits and then you go 13-3, that's a lot of success. So the staff is going to get a lot of recognition. That's why Coach Dolan are going to Dallas. That doesn't surprise me. And it could be, Aaron Glenn maybe
Giants.
Going to be the defensive coordinator with the Giants. That stuff's going to happen all the time when you have success. So for this to come about with LSU, does not surprise me one bit. Now, I'm always intrigued with the money. So what are the Carolina Panthers paying him? Because I know, I think LSU, what they dealt with, basically going to
be
$850,000,
$900,000. Basically
$1 million LSU was going to pay him. So I think Carolina realized that I'm interested to see what that contract says for Joe Brady with the Carolina Panthers.
And parlaying this into a head coaching job
Yes. Somewhere
real quickly, because you can see that'll happen. We'll be back with more Second Guess and Bobby April right after this news break on the Big 870.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.